Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you for tuning in with me on this beautiful Saturday. Welcome to Stardom 100 Radio, and I am your host, none other than Tanisha Davis. And today we have a really, really awesome show prepared for you. I have none other than Miss Kenya Johnson. No, it's Kenya J. Music. She's a jazz vocalist out of Chicago, Chi-Town. So, Sit back, you know, relax, get your tea, coffee, whatever you're drinking right now, and tune in to an awesome show. Kenya, so happy to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, Tanisha. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to have you on the show. Like, I'm interested in learning as much possible about just the jazz industry as far as jazz music. I love it. It's so relaxing. It's just a whole other genre.
Oh yeah. No, it is. And there's, you know, there's a lot of different layers to it. So I'm only one little layer of it. But no, we'll have fun discussing it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Awesome. All right. So for those listening in, can you tell us, like, how did you get started in the jazz industry as far as music?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned about learning more about jazz and stuff, and I kind of tell people I'm more soul jazz, meaning R&B, soul music is more probably what I grew up really listening to. But my father was a musician, and he played drums, but he was really into soul, funk, and jazz. Those were kind of the three types of music me growing up. And so it was when I was little, I really could only kind of appreciate the soul part, the R&B. Mm-hmm. So from your Stevie Wonder to your Minnie Riperton's and Earth, Wind, and Fire's. And so, you know, the edge of kind of the funk soul kind of stuff. And I remember as a child always being like, jazz is so boring. And I would tell my dad, like, this is boring. Why do we have to listen? There's nobody singing. There's no words, you know. And so he would always say, I'm telling you, just listen, just listen. You're going to change your mind. Just listen. And I just remember always being like, no, I'm not going to change my mind. But as I got older, and particularly once I got into high school, my vocal instructor, we were doing all types of genres of music, you know, being trained from classical, madrigal, that type of singing, all the way to, you know, gospel. Then she would switch gears and then pull in jazz. And so she was one of my first mentors, I think, who really started introducing me to vocal jazz. Because I had only heard instrumental jazz as a kid. Mm-hmm. And my dad was mostly playing. I mean, he would have some, you know, some Ella Fitzgerald or some Sarah Vaughan. He would have that. But what he really listened to a lot of when he was listening to jazz was that straight ahead, you know, progressive from your John Coltrane's and, you know, that kind of area of jazz. So my teacher in high school, by the time I became probably, I guess, around 14 or so, is when she said, have you ever heard, you know, of Take Six, you know, have you ever heard of Diane Reeves? And these are all different people who were just actually starting in vocal jazz at the time that I was in high school. And once I heard that, it completely shifted gears because I started hearing the vocal. It was fun to kind of try to follow what they were doing, and it was unpredictable, and they were improvising. And so that just, I fell in love with listening to it. And I guess that's how it got started. But even now, as I do music, I would never categorize myself as a straight jazz singer because there's so much R&B and soul influenced in it. So I always tell people I'm a soul jazz singer. You know, I can't sing straight soul. I can't sing straight jazz. I mean, I can, but I can't do. You know, when I'm performing or I'm writing or whatever, it's always leaning in both directions. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, you recently, I think around last year, I don't know if it was around December, but I know you released a single, Favorite Things, with Gerald Albright. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so that's pretty extraordinary. And I know you had mentioned, you know, kind of wanting to learn more about the world of jazz. And I don't know how familiar you are with Gerald Albright, but Gerald is like the pinnacle. He's the pinnacle. Like, he's a jazz saxophonist. He has, I mean, from your Whitney Houston's, you know, recorded with Whitney Houston to Tamia to Layla Hathaway to his own things to, I mean, giants. I mean, he's a huge. So beyond just going into the jazz lane, he's major. He's a big deal. And so you probably heard Gerald Albright sax and just maybe didn't realize it was him, because if you pull any of and didn't know it was him. But he has his own. I mean, that was him just, you know, featured or whatever, but he has his own amazing, impeccable career. He's been nominated for a Grammy 8 times. He's an 8-time Grammy nominated jazz musician. So he's the real deal. So to have the opportunity to work with him was a pretty major thing. Yes, especially as an independent artist. Because I'm not, you know, I don't have jazz label behind me or some big, you know, R&B or urban adult contemporary label behind me or anything like that. This is all my own production. So it was all in relationship. And what happened, I have a few producers. Two of my main producers are based in Nashville, and one of them's name is Stu Stapleton. And Stu and I had done a holiday, we had rearranged a holiday song some years ago, and it did very, very well in the world of smooth jazz and really crossed over, you know, even to some urban adult contemporary. And so we decided to revisit the idea of rearranging a holiday song again. And we honestly were not even we weren't thinking about Gerald at that point. We just really wanted to, you know, do something different. So when you listen to my music, I love to rearrange music. I don't like to just do covers. Like, I don't even think I can. I can't. It's very hard. Like, I don't like karaoke because I'm like, oh man, I have to follow what the song does. You know, I can't just go big up, you know,
and try to sound just like them.
Right. I don't want to do that. You know, and I know that I can't. You know, like I don't want to be compared to, you know, if I'm singing a Whitney song or a Beyonce, I don't want to be compared to those people. I want people to hear me.
Right.
And so, anyway, so I love to rearrange. Stu is a phenomenal producer and musician and, like, insane with his rearrangements. And so we got together and decided we were going to rearrange the traditional My Favorite Things from Sound of Music. And so as we did it, and we literally were in Nashville, we spent a whole day just rearranging it and recording a demo. It was Stu's idea, actually. He was like, we need to get a heavy hitter jazz, you know, player on this, preferably sax. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we were kind of delirious. So we were just naming people. And so I kind of just said Gerald Albright. And like I said, Gerald is a mega. So we were like, yeah, that would be okay. You know, like that would be nice. And, you know, as divinity would have it, as God would have it, you know, some years ago, started becoming friends with Gerald's daughter. He has a daughter named Selena Albright, who is a singer as well, a phenomenal singer. And when I was first kind of really starting to do my shows, Selena came actually to one of my shows, and she was doing a lot of background and stuff, but she hadn't really kicked off her solo career the way she has now. And so at that time, we kind of just connected and remained friends. And I never, you know, when you start becoming friends with people who have family in the industry, who, you know, are heavy in the industry, I just think out of respect, you know, I'm not going to be, well, so tell me about your dad, you know, the whole, I don't know, that just never felt right.
And
just never felt right. So we have a really cool, you know, friendship, you know, we text each other, we're cool. And so I, you know, I said, okay, well, I'm going to reach out and, you know, and see just what her thoughts are. She thinks that he would even consider an independent artist, you know, who is still, you know, emerging on the scene and all that. And so she texted me right back and said, you know, absolutely here. Just, you know, go to his website, go to this is his email, see what he says. And so we took that demo that we had literally that night. I emailed him. I had his email.
Wow.
And I sent him the demo because the demo, I believed in the song so much. It just sounded so right. It felt so right. And I was like, you know, the worst he can say is no, and it's fine because the song is still powerful and I'm still going to release it. So, he responded like within a day and said, I love it and I would love to do it. And that was crazy. And so there we are. So the song did really well. Yeah, it's sad that it's just it's only really a holiday kind of, you know, although that song is technically not, you know, it's technically from a movie, but they always play. It's really kind of landed in the holiday space. But it did really well in that like 6 week, you know, span. We hit a lot of smooth jazz charts, and we were most added on the smooth jazz billboards for like 2 or 3 weeks straight. So, and it's definitely opened some doors. Yeah, some people, new fans, new people who didn't know who I was, but who, you know, love Gerald, got to know me. So.
Wow. And I love the song. Like, it's beautiful. And like you said,
really, thank you.
Oh, no problem. I have to show credit where it's due. And I have to. Like, it's a beautiful song. I was listening to it. And even though, like you said, they do just play it around the holidays, but you can listen to that anytime. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a year-round type of thing if you're in that mood, you know.
Thank you, Tanisha, because, you know, and we feel like that, too. I'm very biased, obviously, because that's my baby, you know, but the song is my baby. But you know, I definitely, I plan on including it on my upcoming project, which is not a holiday project, and mainly just because I agree. I think it's a song, you know, the song was covered, you know, years ago.
Right.
You know, by John Coltrane, and like just really making it its own, you know, special jazz kind of space. And so, you know, I'm not saying that we were told that the song definitely, you know, could be a classic because it was so different than anything else, you know, any other way that song has been covered. So we'll see. I'm still playing it. I still listen to it. I love the song. I love what we did with it. And that's always a really cool feeling when you can listen to your own stuff and, you know, fall in love with it. That's like the best.
And so you had this awesome collaboration. Is there anyone else like that you're looking to collaborate with next, or you would like to?
Yeah, I actually have a very specific person right now, and I can't make that public quite yet.
Okay, cool.
I can't share. But it's not confirmed yet. But if it does become confirmed, you know, just when I thought I couldn't, you know, do any more flips, you know, backwards, I mean, it would, you know, it'd be another really big deal. But, you know, like I said, that's by no means confirmed, so I can't share. But outside of that, you know, I guess when I'm in like Fantasy Island or when I really think about artists that who I really respect and who I think, you know, might be a nice match. Two people that come to mind, and I tend to think of in terms of a male artist only because vocally my voice is very light and, you know, soprano and high. And, you know, I think in finding another female collaborator, that you have to be really sensitive to that so that the blending, whereas a male voice just naturally kind of has the opposite, kind of the yin and the yang, you know, to my voice. But, there's an artist named Leslie Odom. I don't know if you're familiar with Leslie, but he is he was in Hamilton, the original Hamilton. You've probably seen Leslie, and again, just a lot of people don't realize, oh, that's the guy from Hamilton or whatever, but he has, and he's also on a couple commercials, and I can't think of what the name of the commercial is. He has an amazing voice,
Wow.
And he has done a wide spectrum, you know, from your Broadway, you know, but to also, you know, jazz to soul to you know, just alternative to even pop mainstream. I mean, he's just he's a phenomenal singer. So he's somebody I really admire a lot. And if I could do something with Take Six, that would, like, probably bless my soul beyond. I just love them, and I think I don't know. I don't know what line I'd be able to fit in because they've got so many parts going on. But really admire them as well. Yeah.
Well, hey, anything's possible this year. I definitely believe in speaking it into existence. It can happen.
Thank you, Tanisha. I agree.
So, do you feel like there is enough love and focus on the art of jazz in the industry today?
Yeah, you know, I don't. I think that those who love jazz, love jazz. Jazz is this thing where, I think it's its own language to a certain degree. I think you're either gonna love it or you're not. And I don't think that jazz really begs for other people to just come on over and love it. It's like, if you don't, that's totally fine. We're still going.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it necessarily gets the recognition. Of course, I'm going to say it probably doesn't. But I think it's not because it's hated on. I just think it's another language, and you have to appreciate music in a very different lens and in a very different space. And I do think, you know, I have talked to many people who said that they couldn't really dig into jazz, but then they find, like, one song or one artist that really opened, you know, the door for them. And then when they start digging and going down that rabbit hole, you know, they just get in, you know, go in awe because it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I think that's, you know, so jazz kind of, I think it has this prestige or whatever that it kind of knows. That's fine if you don't want to whatever, but the moment you jump in with us, you're going to have the ride of your life. So I don't know. I think I don't think it probably does get as much respect, and I think that jazz has many layers. You have different types of jazz. You have smooth jazz. You have contemporary jazz. You have traditional straight-ahead jazz. You have progressive jazz. You have acid jazz. You have soul jazz. There's just so many layers of it, and I think, you know, I think people tend to want to lump it up in one sector. They may hear a smooth jazz song and decide, oh, jazz bores me, or it's just too lazy. It's like, that's not jazz. That's one layer, you know, and not all smooth jazz is like that. You know, there's smooth jazz from other areas that are quickly changing and becoming a lot more soulful. So, yeah, you know, I'm definitely biased. I think it challenges you and pushes you to listen to music with a different ear. And I think as an artist, it forces you to have to just be, just be a little bit more focused and engaged to execute it. It's not an easy art to execute at all. Which is why I don't really consider myself just a straight jazz, because a lot of there's still so much more I would need to learn to be that. So
Yes, it's a whole nother. You really just have to step out of the box, and I mean, like a lot of people, like you said, some people are so confounded to one area of music, and you really have to have a passion to really. Step out and dive into not only jazz, but even like classical. Some people think classical music is just boring, you know, but I developed like a passion for it. The more I went to, you know, ballets and got into more of it, you know, I started saying like, man, like this is dope. This is, you know, this is
right.
You know, you just have to have an open mind, and that artistic side of me just loves to branch out into other areas, you know, just awaken something else in you. So,
Exactly. And that to me is the true sign of an artist, when you allow yourself to kind of explore. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to fall in love with it and just whatever. But an artist is not just about being a singer. And I coach different artists and singers, and I try to, that's the first thing I try to ask them is, what are you trying to be? Are you trying to be a singer or an artist? Because it's a very big difference. You know, a singer is to me, someone who can sing very, very well and can sing pretty much anything. But an artist yeah, you know, yeah, hopefully they sing well, you know, but that's not really the main, the artist is about the originality and about the individuality. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Well, like, you really broke that down so well. Like, you I hope that, like, took you somewhere else as far as, like, opening your mind to just understanding that, you know, jazz is just not, like you said, one layer. It's so deep,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely something worth getting into. I mean, man.
And so much of music is pulled from jazz. Like, I think Robert Glasper is doing, and I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but Robert Glasper won a Grammy, and he did an album called Black Radio. He actually has two Black Radio albums. And what he did was he used to just do straight kind of jazz, progressive jazz, piano playing. But and he's really been on the scene and with the label since I think he was like 19, and he's like in his late 30s now. So he's been around for a minute, maybe mid-30s, late 30s. He's been around for a minute, but he listens, you know, and has said, you know, listens to hip hop, listens to everything. You know, he doesn't, he performs jazz, but he's influenced by so many other genres. And so he did an album to kind of show how jazz is not in this little box by itself, that in fact so much of soul music, you know, and R&B and so and hip hop, we are all so tied together, and when you can marry all of them, when you can put them all together, you create this like phenomenal experience, and particularly for Black music. I mean, I think that was kind of his point, is that, you know, Black music has so many roots, you know. I mean, we that jazz is what we found, you know what I mean? And so, so it is, it's more than just, you know, oh, do you like that? I mean, no, it has so much to it. And I think that's why people who really dig into jazz, their appreciation, you know, is just different, because it demands more out of your ear. A lot of the music, what's happening now to me and your mainstream, even and music in general right now, I mean, because even when I was growing up, you know, hip hop and rap and soul music and even pop music, it still demanded your ear to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It may not have been as complex, you know, as jazz or whatever, but it still demanded your ear, meaning there's still melody, there's still harmonies, there's still lyric that's telling an actual story that has an arc. You know, it still required you to tune in. And what is troubling, I guess, or a little frustrating right now, is I feel like so much of what's played on mainstream, meaning what you can kind of turn your radio to or quickly get on Spotify or whatever, is that music that it's getting kind of dummied down. It's getting really minimized where it doesn't really push your ear to do anything. You know, it's just kind of pushing you to rock your head because the beat. You know, and my kids all the time, well, I know what they're saying is crap, but the beat is good. It's like, well, you know, a song needs to be more than a beat. You know, I mean, what's he talking
about?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, but then that's me just being old.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not alone.
I'm the same way. I'm like, it's got to be more to it. It needs to tell a story. Like, how do I?
Yeah.
You know, like, I need more than just a beat.
I need more than a beat. And there are moments, you know, I was in my son's basketball game last night. And so hearing what they listen to, like when I hear that music in my house or in my car, I'm just like, turn it off. I can't take it. Because they're listening to the mainstream hip hop. But now when we were in the gym and they're playing ball and they're warming up, you know, and the beat, it's like, okay, no, that sounds actually that's pretty dope. Like that sounds really good because it's getting me all hyped for the moment, you know, for the moment. And, you know, you're a baller and all that. But do I want to hear that all the time while I'm driving, while I'm sitting in my house cleaning, no, you know, you need different music for different modes, you know.
Yes.
We need to stretch, you know, we need to stretch that.
Yes.
So.
And I encourage all artists, you know, that to reach out into different layers of music, from jazz to classical. It really makes you a well-rounded artist. You know, your music, it makes you well rounded. So you're not just boxed into, it's just hip hop or I'm just R&B. You know, like
right,
all of it. Is,
right.
You know, that's where you got these geniuses like Michael Jackson and Prince and all these people that were able to create dope music. It's just from being well-rounded. Like, don't just be in one field, one lane, you know.
I've been begging people, just real quick, I've been telling people, please watch Quincy Jones' documentary if you have it. It's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I got to watch that. I've been meaning to.
Oh, my God. It is so powerful because it's showing everything you just said in terms of what makes a person real. Because his well-roundedness is like breath. It leaves you speechless. Like, I mean, what he has been able to do in his 86, 85, however old he's just turned, you know, in all these years, it's just ridiculous. You know, from a Frank Sinatra to a Michael Jackson to a bebop to a, I mean, it's just,
wow.
It's just crazy. So, you're right. It makes you a more well-rounded, you know, your ear is going to get more well-rounded at your artistry if you're an artist. And then even as a fan, you'll be able to discern a little bit better, you know, what you really want to listen to if you expose yourself, you know, to more.
Yeah, that's so true. I definitely have to go check that out. Every time I'm going to look at it, I'm like, I'm going to make time today to go watch that documentary.
Yes. It's so wonderful. It really is. Your jaw's going to drop. You're going to be like, what? Yeah, it's really good.
Wow. Oh, man. So, Kenya, we have had an excellent conversation. Like, I'm so happy that you were on the show today and hopefully, like, those listening in, like, it just opens their minds today. Seriously, like, that's the goal every time, so that people can learn something that they didn't know. And I feel like you definitely brought forth a lot of information about what you do and just to help a lot of upcoming artists. So new music that do you have coming up, and how can people follow you on social media to keep up with it?
Yeah, so I'm in writing mode now, recording mode. I'm working on a new EP. The title of the EP today, at least, is called She. You know, titles kind of change, you know, but I've been pretty consistent. I'm pretty open about calling what it is called because I want to claim it. But so I'm working on an EP, I hope that we were looking at trying. We're definitely going to release at least a single this year. I can't tell you when, but there will be a single released. And the EP, we were looking at the fall, but I think it's going to get pushed into 2020. So, and people can follow me, you know, definitely so that they can know what's going on and hear the different things I've done. I do have a website, so that has it all. That has all the goodies, and that's KenyaMJMusic.com. And then my social media is really the same. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all at KenyaMJMusic. And then my artist name is just Kenya. So if you ever just want to Google, I know I have the same name as a country, so you're going to get a lot of stuff. but when you go into Spotify or you go into iTunes or those types of things, if you just put Kenya, a lot of my stuff, actually, I'm really excited. It pops up pretty fast, you know, kind of first, like, so that I'm excited. So if you put Kenya MJ Music on Google, a lot of stuff pops up. But if you put Kenya MJ Music on Spotify, it's not going to, it's like, what? Because my artist name is just Kenya. So, yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, be sure to take notes. And Kenya, like I said, again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be with me today on Stardom 100 Radio.
Absolutely.
I had an excellent conversation with you. I'm looking forward to more music from you and checking out your next collaboration. I'll be watching.
Yes. Oh, I know. You better stay tuned, Tanisha, because I'm telling you, if this works, this will be pretty hot. Yeah, it'll be good. So, yeah, stay
tuned.
All right. Thank you.
And everyone listening.
All right, take care.
Oh, no problem. You have an awesome day.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. And to everyone listening into the show, be sure to follow Stardom 100 Radio on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and we are on SoundCloud. And we are out.
Go, 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 go.